It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
The 7 seconds, the six. He'll drive the baseline, takes it to the near side, spins away from Sensabaugh, and that's it. The buzzer sounds. The ball game's over. Warriors get a win, 114-103, the final. And Golden State will get back to 500 and face a very difficult back-to-back in welcoming the best team in the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder, tomorrow night.
And that will be a challenge for the Dubs tonight as we say, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, good morning on a Wednesday morning. I'm sure Wednesday is the Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freeman's Appliance, if I'm not mistaken. Shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Look, they couldn't pull away from the Utah Jazz last night, the Golden State Warriors, but they do get back to 500 at 23-23. You heard from Tim Roy right there, the voice of the Golden State Warriors. Hell, it became a one-point game in the fourth quarter. 199. Warriors would go on an 11-2 run, capped off by Pods 3. And Pods is playing well since he's returned to the lineup in three games. He's shooting 45% from three. But not a game you're going to write home about. Not a game you're going to go to your wifey or your husband or anything and say, hey, you know that one game against the Utah Jazz back on January 28th, 2025? What a doozy that was. Well, it wasn't, because Utah decided to sit John Collins, Larry Markkanen, Walker Kessler, and many others, Jordan Clarkson, and the Warriors didn't have Stephen Curry, nor Draymond Green, nor Jonathan Kuminga. So, you know, stack a win however you can. Hope guys play well, and a lot of guys did play well. But as Tim said, competition ramps up today against Oklahoma City.
Monte, I'll take any win we can get at this point. There's no need for me to try to poo-poo a win, but it was hard for me to not feel the lack of energy just in general on that game. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that's like crushing the NBA or whatever. But I swear to God, I felt like a Cactus League game in March had more energy than that game. That was bad.
It was bad basketball.
Give Sexton credit for playing hard as hell. I thought Dennis Schroeder played hard. I thought, you know, Guy Santos played hard. A lot of guys really were playing hard. There is some small things to take away that I think are positive developments. Pajemski's playing good basketball right now, I feel like. And his confidence on his shot from the outside, it just looks a lot better. It looks more rhythmic to me. And so there are little things to take away.
Little things to take away, no doubt. Little things to take away. Can you stack and build that momentum into the night against Oklahoma City? And then Friday against Phoenix. And then Monday against Orlando. So Pods, 5 of 12 last night, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 6 of 6. I like his pacing right now.
Me too.
He made all 6 of his free throws. Go figure. The Warriors, the worst free throw shooting team in the league, shot 80% for the free throw line last night. Andrew Wiggins, you wouldn't know it, but he's shooting a career high 80% for the free throw line. 80% for Andrew Wiggins. Career high for him. So, look, there are some things you could build. Dennis Schroeder, 8 of 20, and he had a scare in the third quarter. About the 8:41 mark, he goes out. It looked like his knee had shattered, but he re-entered the game with 3:21 left in the third quarter. So only missed 5 minutes to change, and he's ready to roll. So can you get Buddy Hield rolling? Well, Buddy Hield, another night, another forgettable night for him. 1 of 7 from the floor, 0 for 4 from 3, 2 points in a starting rolling, which was their 27th starting lineup. Now, when you bring up the energy, I walked in for a second.
27th? That is great. 27 different starting lineups.
27 different starting lineups. So
that's crazy.
You know, it is, and this is why you're 23-23, and this is why you're quote-unquote mid, because you don't have consistency when it comes to your lineups. And
27.
They need bodies in a hurry, right? They need bodies. So you talk about the energy being in it. So you're watching it from your television. I went down.
Yeah, I'm watching it from my TV.
So I just wanted to go to the tunnel just to get a sense of what it was like. Because
am I wrong?
Bryce City was packed.
Okay.
Bryce City was packed. Hello Kitty bobblehead night. Everybody's going crazy for Hello Kitty. You know, I can't believe how big Hello Kitty
is. It was huge in the 90s. My sister, was it Sanrio? I forget. Whatever. Anyway, there was a place in Stonestown that she used to go to all the time, and all her and her girlfriends, like, Hello Kitty was huge.
Right. Hello
I'm just going through the prism of my sister.
It's still big because Thrive City was packed. Thrive City was packed.
That's crazy. It's still
Hello
a thing.
Kitty. Yeah, no, it's still a thing. Hello, I have a lot of people texting. Yo, can you grab me a Hello Kitty bobblehead? Hello Kitty bobblehead.
It was the Kitty bobblehead. I guess I didn't see it. I'm gonna look it up.
Well, I have it in my backpack because I'm bringing this to somebody. Give it a special.
Here we go. But
there's a Hello Kitty bobblehead.
Let me see it. Not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Hello Kitty. What could you get on
eBay right now? I'm just teasing.
Oh, well, I should see that actually.
Oh, I see. First thing, I put a. They're going for $65 right now eBay.
That's it.
Somebody has a photo of it on the floor of the Chase Center. 250, 288. Wow. I mean,
I see.
That's going for more than a Pajemski and Trace Jackson Davis card.
Yeah, let me see.
Those are like $3.
Those are like $3. Yeah, I'm seeing 65. Well, the Klay Thompson captain hats were going for like $200, $300.
It's crazy.
Which is crazy. So anyway, I see one. Wow, $200 right here for the Hello Kitty package deal. Yeah, I do see the one on the floor. Wow. So they're going to go like hotcakes anyway. So I walked into the arena during like the second quarter, early second quarter, kind of get a sense of the juice or the energy. And there was a lack of energy.
Okay,
it was flat.
I even asked
Kareth after the game, saying, you know, what was it like? And she was like, it was a bit flat. But think about it. So Utah decided, you know what, last night, we're just going to chill. And think about the people who were inactive. Jordan Clarkson, John Collins, Taylor Hendricks, Walker Kessler, Lowry Markkanen, and their first-round pick, Cody Williams.
Well, and
all inactive.
The reasoning that they used for Lowry Markkanen was like lower back maintenance.
Right. They had a back-to-back yesterday against Milwaukee, or 2 nights ago against Milwaukee. But I don't. They're pooping for Coopin. They're going to try to poop for Coop, Cooper Flag. Right. That's what they're doing. And then, I don't know, the young man out of BYU who got paid $7 million to go to BYU, they're going to try to stink for him, too. Just have them in their home state to see what Salt Lake City and the state of Utah is about.
Do they have the most white guys in the league?
Probably, but Utah.
Or is it Boston?
I would guess Utah. Utah's got a lot of white guys.
Hauser. I mean, I don't know.
Utah's got Filipowski and
Pritchard.
McHaluk, and they've got Walker Kessler. They've got Markkanen. They've got Drew Eubanks.
Yes, Eubanks.
Micah Potter. Micah Potter. They've got a lot of white guys on Utah.
They do, dude. I'm telling you.
Even Johnny Juzang didn't play yesterday, the young man from UCLA.
I liked him.
I did, too, but he didn't play yesterday. Apparently a right-hand fracture or whatnot. So, listen, man. Utah's not trying to win a basketball game. And yet.
Listen to what we're saying.
They're not. They're not trying to win
they're
games.
Not, I know. It's,
they're
10-35. You're not wrong.
I mean, they were 1-9 entering this game in their last 10. 1-9. Like, I'm telling you, it's impressive how teams just laid out and lose.
Can I ask you a question? They've lost
seven in a row.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
As someone who loves the league as much as you do, clearly, and you know that I love watching basketball, and I've been doing more because I got the little guy in the early afternoon. I've just turning games on because of YouTube TV. Like, there'll be just games on all the time. I feel like Detroit's on every day at 4 o'clock. But the league as a whole, just the NBA. The big stories right now. De'Aaron Fox wants out of Sacramento.
Wants out.
Jimmy Butler is suspended for the 8,000th time in a month. He wants out of Miami. And then a bunch of teams are actively trying to not play. It's so weird.
Well, let's look at the teams who are not trying to win. Washington, Charlotte.
Yes.
Brooklyn and Toronto. That's four teams in the East.
Wow, it's four teams in
the East. Four teams in the East. Now, in baseball, you'll get some teams.
No doubt, no doubt. I've got baseball comments, this is not exclusive to just the NBA.
So, Utah, New Orleans, and Portland. Now, Portland is 18-29.
I feel like they're trying.
They're trying. I'm not going to put them in that category. New Orleans has been littered with injuries. Brandon Ingram, Zion. So, it's tough for me to put them in that category.
That's a good point.
But really, five teams. Utah, Washington, Charlotte, Brooklyn and Toronto, and hell, Washington may be trying. By the way, Washington's lost 14 straight games. In case anybody's wondering, they've lost 14 straight games. They already had a month
in
November.
Are they the White Sox of the NBA?
Absolutely. I mean, they went through the month of November and they didn't win a game.
I've never met a Wizard fan.
They've won one game in the month of January, which happened on the 1st of January against Chicago. First day of the new year, they win. They've lost 14 straight.
So I guess where I'm going at with this is that I watch my team, the Warriors, and I say to myself, like, at least I understand those five teams. And I'm sure at any point, if I were to just pick the league, there'd be four or five teams that are actively tanking as well. But this is not just a this year exclusive thing. But I'm looking at the Warriors, and I'm just like, God. And I know Trades are hard. Both teams have to want to, you know, they have to want what you have. And blah, blah. We're in this inner tube and we're just floating off into the ocean. And it's like, I want them to just do something. They gotta do some, pick a direction. I'm watching that team last night and it's just a bunch of used parts all playing. And I'm not mad at those guys for trying hard. But if you've been watching the Warriors for the last couple of years, you got an attachment to Looney. Maybe you have an attachment to Moses Moody because he's a young player. Pods, you know, but it's really hard to just cling to this team right now. And, right. I'm wanting any reason to cling to this team. And I'm having a I love this team. And I'm having a hard time. I really am. And I don't think I'm alone.
Hard time just watching?
Just being engaged.
It's tough to be engaged. I
just
hear you.
Just being engaged. But, and I'm not saying that they're not trying. I don't want to say that players or staff or organizations
are. Here's how I get engaged.
Of course they're trying. I'm just saying the product I'm watching is really tough.
Well, but
to
you
watch.
Know what, though? You know what, though? A lot of people ask for this. And what I mean by that is a lot of people have been bitching and moaning about the youngsters playing. So the game like last night, and it's the Utah Jazz for crying out loud. So I don't want to use this as an example, but how many calls have we taken the last 3.5-4 years about seeing more Moses Moody?
Well, I'm okay with Moses Moody
playing.
All
right, so that's one player. We're seeing more Moses Moody.
I want to see more Quentin Post. I want to see more Guy Santos.
We're seeing,
but I
we're
also
seeing
understand
more Quentin
playing
Post.
Those three a lot. We're not. That's not good. I have zero attachment to Buddy Hield. And then GP2, right. Like, it's just, he's a nice guy. It's run its course. I love Looney.
All right, relax for a second. Hold on. Quentin Post. So you're getting more Quentin Post.
Yes.
You played 16 minutes yesterday.
16.
10.5 rebounds. That's fine. What do you want to play? 30? He's not ready. He's not ready to play. He was tapping out in the Laker game.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? He's got to get his cardio up. This is the NBA. You're not just going to walk in here from the ACC and all of a sudden play 35 minutes.
But if no one's playing and you're playing the garbage Utah Jazz and he's getting 60 minutes, like, you can't get that to like 24.
You also try to get a win, too. He did have 4 fouls. So you go Looney for about 24 minutes. He grabs 11 rebounds and 6.
No, Looney was good yesterday.
He scored 6 points. All right, Pods played 33 minutes. Schroeder played 34 minutes. A guy you flipped. Now, Buddy, everybody's, you know, it's funny how Buddy's driving everybody crazy now. Far cry from what happened the first 3 weeks of the season. And trust me, I remember all the phone calls. But he only played 22 minutes last night.
Feels like so, 21 too many.
Well, you got to play somebody.
That's the problem.
You know what I'm saying?
Play
somebody.
You're right.
Randy Waters is in a deep funk. Pat Spencer's going up and down from Santa Cruz. You don't have Stephen Curry, so somebody's got to play, and he played 22 minutes. Now, TJD only played 6 last night. Moses Moody did his thing with 15 points, and he saw 28 minutes. And Andrew Wiggins saw 33. So it gets to Utah Jazz, where you don't have some of your main cogs there. I thought Steve Kerr did what he had to do. GP2 only played 10 minutes last night. He only played 10 minutes, and Steve Kerr figured it out right away. Okay, GP2 may not have it tonight. I'm going to have a quick hook on him. I'm going to ride the guys like Paz. I'm going to ride Andrew Wiggins. I'm going to ride Moses Moody. And I thought he did that last night.
I'm just saying, for the consumer right now, it's really hard to muster up energy for lots of these combinations.
If you're a casual basketball fan, this
it's
ain't
not
it
about
for
casual.
You.
It's about think, about watching good basketball. And I think no I'm doubt. Spoiled, and I
you're
admit
spoiled.
That.
Yeah,
I've gotten not, really spoiled.
Listen,
and
Last night was set up to be a dud.
I hear you. I'm just saying the overall big picture of this team. I think for a sports fan, either there's going to be some emotional investment. Or I feel like we're building to something, right? Or we're going all in. We're trying to win a championship. Like, there's a variety of ways to lure me in. And I think that this roster is really missing the mark right now. And I know we've all said the same thing. Moves. You got to make a move. Make a move. What are you going to do? Pick a direction. And it's just like, man, this trade deadline can't come fast enough. I want to know the direction of where they're going.
It sounds like, what if they don't make a trade at the deadline?
I think that that would be a giant
mistake. How would you react?
I think a lot of people would react. Look, I'm not going to do this because I love it and I'm going to watch it and I'm addicted and it's my job. But like, I think a lot of people are going to tune out. That's what we did to the Giants. You can't play all the used parts and be mediocre and say, what, you don't like this? It's like, no. Like, we've told you, like, either you're building to something or you're going in on making a run. And right now, this team is doing neither. And so saying that we're not making a move is like, we're staying together till the kids graduate high school, then we're divorcing.
Can I ask something? Because you mentioned how there's no attachment to
Am
Buddy
I spoiled?
Hill. Yeah, you are spoiled. That's the but we all are. We all are.
I admit it.
And that's why I make this mention all the time. We're gonna find out who the real ones are. Because a lot of people, if this thing starts descending, a lot of people are gonna check out. And a lot of people are gonna say, yeah, we're not watching Warrior basketball, we're gonna check out. It's gonna be like the Giants of Farhan Zaidi. But at least I know Farhan, I never had trust into Farhan. I never had trust into him fixing an organization and rebuilding an organization and putting out a winner. In a weird way, I do trust Dudley Van Lathan a lot more than I ever trusted Farhan Zaidi to fix this thing and turn it around. Now, you got the Steph Curry dilemma here. The Steph Curry dilemma is going to be a problem, right? But, when you think about this team right now and where they're at, I got to ask this question. Would we have more fun watching this team if Klay Thompson was on it as opposed to Buddy Hield? Because the reason why I bring that up, because Buddy Hield's been brought up a lot recently. And I find it funny because the first month of the season, people were dunking on Klay to build up Buddy Hield, and everybody's going crazy over Buddy. Now Buddy's shooting 30% from three since the 1st of December.
Well, their numbers are very similar.
But it's a different team, though, right?
No, I'm saying different opportunity. Klay's numbers this year and Buddy's
very similar. But
there's an attachment to Klay, and I think the question you're asking.
Attachment to Klay and a different situation in Dallas where he may not even be the third option. He may be the fifth option. Buddy's been elevated as a higher option on this team. But at least with Klay, we knew he was chasing history on any given night. There was going to be some record in play or something. With Buddy, it doesn't feel like he has a feel of the offense anymore. I think his confidence is down. And it's been a hard watch. It's been a hard watch watching him defensively. It's been a hard watch watching him offensively, trying to find it. His confidence right now has been sapped. It has.
But this thing about, like, everyone lost their minds. Yeah, we did for 3 weeks. And then the last 12 to 15 weeks, we've said, this guy's garbage. Like, that's what we've been saying. So you're right. We all lost our minds the first couple of weeks, and myself included at the top of the list. But for the last 12 or 15, I've been pounding this guy and saying that he's not that good.
I don't know. Everybody's just trying to figure out what's going on with Buddy
That's
Hill.
What I'm saying.
And I've been telling everybody that
the question
this is
about
Buddy
Klay Thompson. Here's what I would say. And I think this is where people are like, hey, pick a direction. If you wanted to give me the final bow out, send out of, hey, we're just going to watch our legends retire and we're not going to compete or whatever, then yeah, you should have kept the whole band together. But if you are truly trying to make a difference and compete, well, then everything should be on the table. Like to me, this is where they kind of made the mistake a couple of years ago, and I don't want to go down this road, but it's like, then the year that you said goodbye to Jordan Poole, you should have said goodbye to Jordan Poole, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. Like, if that's what you wanted to do, you can't patchwork it, and Dre stays, so we have some of the nostalgia, but, you know, Klay goes or whatever. Like, again, this goes back to picking a lane. I think that they've been kind of... have one foot into two different directions for an entire time, and now we are where we're at, which is kind of no man's land.
You know what it is, though? I think they were picking a lane, and I think the lane was going down to Jonathan Kuminga Avenue. Even though he wasn't starting, he was seeing 30 minutes a night.
Okay.
And he was starting to get empowered. He was starting to come up. He was starting to become empowered within the offense, and then he got injured. And I think that one injury alone, because Jonathan Kuminga represents the whole "quote unquote" two timeline thing.
I would agree with you.
I want to get
here.
Into this on the other
you
side.
Know, I think you're hitting
something. And I want to get into this on the other side with Sam in Oakland as well. Because last night was a tough watch. Trust me, it was. As we were talking about the Warriors at a Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Anthony Slater will join us at 8:30. And it's Stugatz. The great Stugatz will join us at 9:20 on the River Islands guest line. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
Dub Nation is Buddy Hield. Listen to the morning roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Bonte.
I will try to hit the brakes, buddy. I will try to hit the brakes. We got to get you to hit some threes, though. We need some threes tonight against Oklahoma City. Buddy Hield just 1-7 last night. 0-4 from the three-point line. But the conversation with the Warriors, there's a couple conversations happening with the Warriors. Pick a direction! Pick a direction is what everybody's screaming about. Pick a direction. By the way, 95.7 The Game Knockout Tournament. We do have a direction with this. It will take place March 3rd, Monday, March 3rd, at Chase Center. We're going to give out the keyword between 8 and 8:30. And then at some point between 8:30 and 9, we're going to play a sounder. And you're going to need to be the first caller. When you give us this keyword to play the sounder, you'll hear it. You'll hear it. And you'll get a chance to shoot hoops on the court at Chase Center. Listen to the 8 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour. Each show will have a slot to give away each day for the next 3 weeks. Have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. Now, the direction, I think Shasky was, they were starting to pick that direction. And that direction was, let's go down to Jonathan Kuminga Road. And let's see what J.K. has. And let's ride with him. And let's see how he messes with Wiggins and Stephen Curry. And I liked what I saw. I think the Warriors liked what they saw. And he was starting to play his best basketball of his young career. And then January 4th, he came down on somebody's foot against the Memphis Grizzlies. And we haven't seen him since. So that plan has been put on pause. It's been halted. It's been halted. As he's posing on the sideline in street clothes, it's been halted. And so what direction can you go in now? Well, you're in the direction to try to win some basketball games. But how do you win those basketball games? Do you do it with the youngsters? Do you do it with the vets? Well, we see that right now. It's tough for the youngsters to win a game against the Utah Jazz G League team. That wasn't the Utah Jazz. That was the Salt Lake City Stars that they were playing last night. And they still struggled because they're trying to find some rhythm and flow, man, with all these guys in and out of the lineup. And that's the worst thing possible. Now, you can say, well, they're an older team, Bonte. Injuries happen. They do. But 27 different starting lineups. All type of different rotations. I mean, there hasn't been one player on the squad that has started every single game of the season. It's unbelievable.
But, so I guess where I kind of differ from you, like I understand, like, yes, some of the youngsters played last night. There's 240 minutes for anyone at any given time in any game. That's how many. If you do 5 times 48, that's the number you're going to end up with, right? So Quinn Post played 16. How many did Gee play?
Gee Santos played a lot last night. He played 23 minutes, 18
okay.
seconds.
Okay, so the two of them, that's 40 minutes. There's another 200 minutes. How many did...
Well, you got to think about the positions they play and foul trouble.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, if you're looking at, like, they're... Yes, a couple of young guys played, but they're not playing the bulk of the game,
well,
you know?
Moody played 27-27.
Good.
Trace Jackson-Davis only played 6 minutes, 10 seconds. He's struggling. Brandon Podziemski, 32 minutes, 27 seconds. Gee Santos, 23 minutes, yeah. 18 seconds.
That's still less than half of the overall minutes.
16 minutes and 7 seconds. So I think the youngsters are playing. Now, you have your GP2s, you have your Schroeders, you have your Hields, you have your Andrew
Wiggins.
That's
all they have available, too. So that's let's be fair. The Kuminga point is the one that I think you're right on. And here's what I would say to you is that absolutely, the absence of Jonathan Kuminga has soured everything and how it looks.
No doubt.
It's undeniable. And you forget about him because he's been out for so long, right? And so on a night like last night, how much more watchable is that entire thing if you just, boom, Kuminga's in there?
Oh, it's much more watchable.
You know, and so I agree with you. And I am a prisoner of the moment this morning. It's just... I do believe that the Kuminga injury has kind of
derailed everything.
It's harpooned all of the joy. It's harpooned kind of the results of what you were expecting from this season. I think it's kind of tailspun them into this no man's land. But what if I said to you that might just be the reality, the cold dose of water, the ice bucket challenge that they absolutely need to look themselves in the mirror and not pretend that they're like going to make some fake run here?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, look, what I would say this, and I'm not speaking on behalf of the organization. Mm-hmm. I just know I go to these games, I talk to people. It's not like the Warriors aren't trying to do something. They are scratching their head, trying to claw in. Do we make a move just to appease the fan base to try to win now? No, you could, like, think about this. I'm watching a game yesterday, and Larry Market is his street clothes. And Larry Market is averaging 19 points a game. And 6 rebounds. Now, his numbers will probably look better next to a Stephen Curry. But with that trade, you're going to move some big boys. You're either going to move Wiggins, mm-hmm. Kuminga, Pods, Moody, and draft capital.
Okay.
What does a team look like with just Larry Marketed with at least three or four of those players gone.
Well,
what does it look like? You know, so I'm watching it from that perspective. I'm saying, I don't know if there was a move out there this past offseason that would have catapulted them into the top six, especially now Paul George, who seems to be one and done in Philadelphia. But I'm just looking at this roster saying, you're right. Jonathan Kuminga being hurt kind of derails some things in terms of development, in terms of playing time, in terms of a normal rotation. You know, Steve Kerr's got all these different lineup combinations. Well, what is he? I know I'm not even caping up to Steve Kerr. I've had my issues with Steve Kerr lineups, and I don't want to see a three-guard lineup again with Steph Curry, Dennis Schroeder, and Gary Payton II. I don't want to see that. I don't think it works. I'm just not a fan of it. Too small, a little too slow. Mm-hmm. Just size matters in today's game. You got to have athleticism or whatnot. But at the same time, I'm looking at this lineup, and I'm saying, well, what the hell is he supposed to do? You know what I mean? The guy's been playing Lindy Waters III for crying out loud, and now he's a D&B. You know, so I don't know what Steve Kerr, how is he supposed to juggle this? And then you have to play Draymond Green because he's making $100 million, and he's one of your core veterans. So he's playing the four. You've already benched Looney. Looney's had some D&Ps for crying out loud.
Well, this goes back to your original point was about Larry Markkanen. Wiggins brings more clearly to the defensive side than Larry Markkanen does, and you're giving up a lot. Potts has had a really bummer year, period. I think he's a backup point guard. Maybe on the high end, one day, he can be some poor man's version of a Dante DiVincenzo. Maybe one day, okay? But right now, he's had a very poor year. Moody's whatever. Like, what? I like him. I root for him, but he's clearly not affecting wins and losses for the Warriors in a dramatic way, uptick-wise. And then, like, we've seen a little glimpse of a big that can stretch the floor for Steph Curry, and he was so happy. He even spoke about it after the game with Quinn Post, that one game that he had. I do think that they're a slightly better team, and I think that he would be the second best shooter on the floor. I think he'd make the offensive part of the game a lot easier. Now, again, there's the defensive side that goes into it.
And then what are you giving up?
I think they're a little better with Larry
Markkanen. But where do you give it up? For Larry Markkanen,
Are they better? I do think they're a little better.
Yeah,
that's the question.
I don't know. I don't know how much they're better because injuries happened and Larry Markkanen has played 34 games. Now, how much of that has to do with tanking? How much of that has to do with winning? Considering the money that you gave up for Larry Markkanen in a 5-year, $238 million deal. Yeah, I don't know if I'm feeling that. I don't know if I'm feeling that. Let's go to Sam in Oakland. Sam, what's happening?
Hey, great show, fellas. When you guys talk about the Warriors right now, it's just like, gosh, what would have happened if the Warriors didn't get Steph Curry? Is this basically the same Warriors we're watching right now that we used to watch? Just a struggling franchise that can't win, can't figure out how to make guards like, you know, any kind of guards that can play the game, you know, like World Be Free or Damon Stoudemire in college. We can't do anything with guards in this organization. If we didn't get Steph Curry, I don't even want to think about what it would still be like. I don't think we wouldn't have no championships.
Hey, Sam, you did get Steph Curry. You got four championships.
Well, and Clay and Jordan Poole were guards. They were pretty freaking good.
So what do you do now, Sam?
Well, I mean, the same thing we have to do before with Steph. You got to get him some more players. He doesn't have anybody around him. You guys are saying the same thing. All these guys basically belong in Santa Cruz, if that. And the whole league has changed now because college players are getting paid, so people respect money. So you got college basketball players making $7 million. Who's going to respect some NBA guy that doesn't play? And nobody's trying, you're just going to naturally care.
I don't know where we're going here.
Listen,
we're all over the place.
This is
sorry. Good call. Thank you.
Here's the reality. Here's the reality of the situation.
But if we start talking BYU kid making $7 million, I'm like, what?
Well, I did bring that up.
Okay.
Block. That's why you probably reacted to it.
It was a much different conversation on the screening there.
Yeah, no doubt. But listen, man, this is what happens at the end of a dynasty. We're just in it. There's no quick fix. There's no trade that's just going to catapult you to the top of the Western Conference.
No.
It's not. Now, is there some moves out there? Now, I do want to get around the NBA because De'Aaron Fox is asked out. And the asking price for Jimmy Butler has gone down for the Miami Heat. It has. But I don't know what you're giving up for that. I don't know what you would want to give up for Jimmy Butler. I don't know De'Aaron Fox is a long. You're not getting in on De'Aaron Fox sweepstakes. I think San Antonio has his name written all over it. Damian Barling was the first that yesterday saying that y'all better be open up to the idea of Fox being moved. He told King says that an hour before Shams Charania.
Wow.
They called Damian Barling a hot take artist. Well, he got the last laugh because he was onto something, and his sources was right. And then I heard about San Antonio about a month ago anyway. Like, if he did get traded, San Antonio would be the move. He's from Texas. You got Wimby down there. It's a hell of a 1-2 combination down at San Antonio.
Well, yeah, that's an incredible combination.
But what Jimmy would be a rental because he would probably opt out, which is crazy.
Why are you so risk-averse? And I understand.
I'm not risk-averse at all. I know what the Warriors need. I want to improve. But you also, we can't bitch and moan about Draymond Green every day and then want to bring in Jimmy Butler.
You go with the devil. I mean, once you make the deal with him, you just kind of go all in, right?
I want some size. I don't want another wing. I just want size. I want more of a Quentin Post. I want a quicker guard. I don't want a guy who's going to hold the ball over and over and over and then tweak the system for a guy who may be here half a year. That's what you would do with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's not going to play greedy react.
All we want is a direction. I think most Warrior fans just want to know
What direction would you bring in Jimmy Butler? What direction?
Well, that direction is we're going to try to win with Steph. We're going to do everything we can just get in the playoffs. My preferred path, which no one wants to hear, is go into the draft. Do you have a 5%? You have a 5% chance if you get into the top 7, okay? 5% chance of landing the number 1 pick. I don't think they have a 5% chance of being the 6th seed.
Make sure you don't miss that break,
bro. I'm asking. I mean, like, this is the year. There, if you look at these draft picks, again, there are some really tantalizing prospects out there.
People say that I'm risk averse and I don't want to do anything. Well, I may not want to do anything until the offseason, where there may be more options on the table. And I'm going to preach that to the end of the. So I'm not going to go crazy if they don't make a move February 6th, because I get it. What players are out there, and what are you going to have to give up with this new salary cap to go to St. Warriors? I don't know what you do here if you're Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob, man. You're kind of stuck in no man's land. Or you can try to get hot with your players, and nobody really believes that right now. So we'll see. Tonight, you got OKC. They're the top team in the Western Conference. On paper, it looks like a bad matchup. Lou Dort, Alex Caruso is going to be all over Stephen Curry. SGA's playing at a high level, MVP level. Going to be a tough game. We'll get into it. Tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity, and bring on the good stuff. Pandora's Box coming up on the other side, plus your phone calls. 888-957-9570 is the number. Are you in or out, or Jimmy Butler? I'm not even going to ask you. Are you in or out? As the asking price has been lowered by Pat Riley. We'll get into that coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Smashback might be better. Moody off a screen, hits a three. Moses Moody with the biggest shot of the night. He's got 14 points on 4 of 9 shooting.
This is Moses Moody, and you're listening to the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Mo money, Moses Moody. Got the start last night. Hopefully he gets some starts for the foreseeable future before the deadline here. He's been in double figures quite a bit lately. What is that? 1, 2, 3, 7 straight games. 7 consecutive games in which Moses Moody has scored double figures. He's playing better basketball. 15 last night, 3 of 6 from the three-point line. In the month of January, nobody would know this, but he's shooting 45% from three in the month of January. Not bad for Moses Moody. Not bad at 22 minutes of action a night, 22 minutes a game. 45% from the three-point line.
He was attacking the hoop a little too yesterday.
He's moving, attacking the hoop. He's showing some swagger, so he's playing better. He's playing better. We're starting to see Moses Moody, and I want to see more of him. I want to see more of him as we talk about the Warriors here. Brought to you by Go to Stay, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStayLumber.com. Should we take this call before Pandora's Box, or should we just go to Pandora's Box? Let's go to Pandora's Box. Get the sounder ready.
Bronte Hill has a vast knowledge of sports.
If you do watch the film, don't knock us for watching film, Shotsky.
But if there is one kind of hole in his game, it's music.
All right, do you know the...
Sweet Home Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Let's go.
They later changed to the Noble Five before...
Oh, it's Maroon 5. This is Maroon 5.
It's time for Pandora's Box.
All right, Bonte. This is a Warrior-themed Pandora's Box. You ready to have some fun?
I'm always having fun. I'm having fun talking Dubs. You're not having fun talking about the Utah Jazz and the Golden State Warriors? You're not having fun talking about Brendan Podziemski going 27-6 last night? Where's the Pods haters at? You're not having fun addressing them? Hey, you Pods haters. How, you like those 45% shooting from the three-point line the last three games? How about Pods?
Cricket. Kind of sad that he didn't make the rookie sophomore rising star, whatever it's called. Was it
rising stars challenge?
Yeah, TJD made it.
And Pat Spencer. And TJD joined Isaiah Thomas, Arvydas Sabonis.
Was he?
How about this? TJD, he joined Isaiah Thomas, IT2, not the Isaiah Thomas or the Pistons, but IT2, who just signed the G League contract. Who did he sign the G League contract with? I think it was with Utah. Anyway, Isaiah Thomas, IT2. Manu Ginobili, and Arvydas Sabonis. TJD joins them as the latest pick to be selected to the Rising Stars Challenge. They're all picked 57th or lower, and he joins that category. So shout out to Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Okay. Jimmy Butler, the trade deadline. Bonte, here's our first song. This is a punk rock band. Look at
should
Sam
I stay or should I go?
Yeah!
Should I stay or should I go?
Bang this one a little.
Should I stay or should I go?
Can you name the group? They're from England. Say that
you are. Oh, this is YouTube.
That's not. They're from Ireland.
Oh, damn. It seems like all these punk rock bands are from London. Is that what they do out there?
Well, there's also Rancid, which is a punk rock group from, you know, Oakland and, places like that, Berkeley.
This is not the Beatles. This is not the Beatles.
No, no. Their first album was called The Clash.
Aerosmith?
No, not Aerosmith.
Arrowhead?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait, is Arrowhead a band or is that just a water?
They did Rock the Casbah.
Oh, it's a stadium? It's like a game field.
They did Rock the Casbah.
Rock the Casbah.
Should I stay? All right. Their first album was the name of the band, actually.
Should I stay? What is the name?
The Clash.
Oh, The Clash?
Yes.
That's the name? All right, The Clash. Is this what they're called? The Clash?
Yes. Should I stay or should I go?
I do know that song. Should I get a half a point for that for knowing a song?
No, you got the song. That. I'll give you a point for that.
All right, next song, Lubman, please. Now, we've done this guy before. Okay? We've done this guy before. This is a Motown classic.
Oh, Smokey.
Fucking Bonte.
Smokey Robinson.
Name of the song. Double down.
Oh.
He does not know it.
I got to figure the word. I got to get to the hook. What's the name of the song?
Tears of a Clown.
Tears of a Clown.
Give me the hook, because this is kind of the way the Warrior fans are right now. You know, we're the happy clown, and right now we're crying underneath the mask.
You don't think anybody was happy after the win yesterday?
No, heck, let's start there. Don't let my happy expression give you the wrong impression, man. We are kind of down bad right now.
Oh, my gosh. We're down bad. We're down bad with the Dubs.
Smokey Robinson is a classic. All
that is a classic. Shout out Smokey. Light Skin Coalition.
This is a Sam Lubman song. Sam, I'll let you ask the questions to Bonte since you know it a little better. Next one.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep.
The name of the song is
so
The Gambler.
We took turns.
But most people title it
The Window.
Else.
So
this is
at
the definition of snitching music.
No,
right,
this is
here.
A banger, dog.
This is the definition of snitching music.
No, this is a banger.
You roll with the hood.
Just listen.
Son, I made a life
out of reading people's faces.
Look at Carter. He's knowing not
the it's a banger.
Hey, Carter, would your boy LaBoy let you play this in the car? LaBoy is Stuart Hall legend.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. What about Adam and SF? Would he let you play this?
Definitely.
What about Akita? Would he let you play this?
He'd be embarrassed.
What about Frank Duncan? Stuart Hall legend. What about Charlie Johnson?
Probably wakes up to this.
This guy shares the same name as a pitcher who used to pitch for the Rangers.
And the Tigers.
He got sticky stuff on his hands and got in trouble. Same name as
Kenny Rogers.
Yeah!
Kenny Rogers.
You got
Kenny Rogers.
Here we go, right here.
You got to know when to fold them.
The Warriors, you need to know when to walk away. Maybe they have to walk away from the table and wait till the offseason.
Yeah, I know. You guys don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. It's the rational take that nobody wants to hear.
Sometimes that's the correct one. No one wants to be rational.
I mean,
though.
You got less years on the contract. You know what I'm saying? People don't have to take on that prorated money. You may have more options in the offseason.
Next song, Bonte. This is actually from a movie, but it's a local group you may or may not know. Maybe they've been in your mentions before.
From a movie? Oh, Smash Mouth.
Well, we'll just play the song. Because if I'm the hater, you're probably the believer.
Smash Mouth has another hit?
Well, this is actually a cover. This is a cover of an old song. I don't know if it's the Monkees or the Beatles or whatever.
Bobby does a song. Take that.
This is also part of the Shrek soundtrack.
Yeah, Shrek soundtrack.
Oh, Shrek.
Shrek's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
And then I saw her face.
Adam and
XFS. Are you a believer of this year's Warriors team?
I'm a believer that patience is a virtue. Believer in what? In going to the playoffs right now?
What we're trying to say is, Shasky and I, we both think this team can make a run.
You're not getting that out of me. Hey, listen. I got it. You know, I get a lot of heat for this Warrior stuff. Like, I'm seeing text yesterday saying, where's the real Bonte? Where are you going to pound this team into submission?
Bonte, you homer.
I wasn't the one going crazy over the 12-3 start, okay? I just said, I tried to warn everybody saying, let's just wait. I enjoyed it, absolutely.
This is exactly what he did with Nick Mullins.
No.
He fans the flames. He's like breathing oxygen into all of the fire. And then he goes, oh, I can't believe you wanted Nick Mullins.
Well, no, what I did was I said Nick Mullins is going to play well and you guys are going to create a quarterback controversy. And what happened?
They will always have that Raider game.
And the quarterback controversy started because he had a good game against the New York Giants, who were god-awful that season.
So, right,
now with the 12-3 start, it's just like, look, they haven't been a lot of teams at full strength. I think they're playing better. The vibes are good. But then we got the month of December. And the month of December, that schedule was hellacious.
All right.
Hellacious. And now here we are.
Well, so would that make the Warriors the real deal or posers? Listen to this song.